Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Today, the big story so far this morning has been 9 more players in the NBA have tested positive for COVID-19. This puts the number of players at 25, which is a small number when you think about the number of NBA players. Okay, well, it's 15 out of you're over 300. But really, when one person has it, they're around a team, that gets to 2 and that gets to 3. So the NBA is trying to take care of this. At the same time, DeMar DeRozan of the Spurs talked about the frustration and the overwhelming rules about what life is going to be like in the Orlando bubble. Now, as MLB teams report, we're looking at, okay, when the NBA winds up getting things together, how they're going to go. And I get that there's a lot of crazy things in the bubble. I mean, just the rule about you can play cards with a deck and then throw it away. It's like Vegas. You know, we play one hand through of blackjack and then we're going to get rid of the cards. We throw the cards away.
You want to be the sponsor for that? Because the number of times it passes through the player's hands over the course of a month, they'll be loyal to you for life just because they think they have to be.
Yeah, these cards were held by J.R. Smith, then he dropped all of them. And so these can be yours. So I get the crazy.
Collectors from the bubble.
The ping pong rules are insane, and this is something DeMar DeRozan talked about, that, oh, we can bang bodies against each other, but we can't play two-on-two ping pong. We can't be close to each other. I get the minutia of it, and I understand that players are, oh, my God, this is really insane. But you got to seem like you're on top of things. You can't have a two-page leaflet saying, yeah, we got it. Oh, that's great. That's going to inspire me with confidence. I'd rather be inundated with the minutia and know that, okay, they got it.
What does that mean?
What does page 2 say? Nothing. It just says Adam Silver, commissioner with a big autograph. That's all you have. So I get the minutia of it, and I understand that. And this is coming from me who, honestly, I am now a bubble convert. Because, as you know, I have never been a fan of the bubble.
I tried, man. I tried to lay hands on you in the whole 9 yards.
You can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. I'd have to call somebody.
Well, it's part of the conversion process. Yeah. That's all.
Here's how I'm converting you. Like when Bill Gates was buying out Homer and the Simpsons. Buy them out, boys. They just destroy everything.
Smashing everything, yep.
The bubble, I never thought it was a bad idea. I thought it was an idea that sounded great in theory, but in practice, it was never be able to have it come out. It's like the idea of time travel. Like, the idea of time travel sounds awesome, right? Oh, my God, we can time travel. How do we do it? Then you get into theories and quantum physics, and then Ant-Man gets involved and all these string theories and particles, and you go, okay, well, can you really? This sounds like it's incredibly complex and still impossible. That's kind of how I thought about the Orlando bubble, is that all these rules, how are you going to do this? You have the snitch line for people who are trying to get on campus with cars that aren't supposed to be there, people who aren't supposed to be, if players aren't practicing social distancing, it seemed overwhelming. But I'm a convert now. And the last 10 to 12 days in the United States has brought me to that, because as we've seen, the spike of coronavirus cases, and why did coronavirus spike? Because enough people don't subscribe to social distancing. Don't subscribe to masks. Don't subscribe to social distancing. People are sick of quarantine. I get it. I've had days where I'm just going crazy, going, I got to get out and do something. Even if I'm going for a drive, I got to go somewhere. I understand that. But everything that's going on right now is an attempt to keep people safe. It's not an attempt to politicize anything. We're trying to keep everybody safe. But as we have seen, especially people in their 20s and 30s, this is not a situation which we have control of now. Because it's not that America opened up too soon, it's we didn't open up safely enough. So if you are trying to say the backs of when sports open are going to be on 20 and 30-year-olds making the right decision every night, that's something that you can see as being untenable. Because as we can see, you can't trust enough people to. We're still getting positive COVID-19 tests. There's still craziness out there. And there's ways that positive COVID-19 tests are coming that don't have anything to do with. It just so happens you get it because you were shopping, because you had to go shopping, and you got it. There's certain things out there. The bubble now I now think this is the new hope, the only hope that you can play the season, because the NBA needs to be in charge of it. And when you have everybody under one roof, in air quotes, this makes it easier. All right, we're going to make sure that you guys are all safe. There's somebody overseeing you to make sure you are safe. And I get the Kyrie Irving. I think it's a bad optic if you have a lot of black men who are supposedly now under quarantine or being held in one place. I understand that part of it. This is about being able to play in the NBA and play the season. So I would hope that that would be overcome by the optic of we're all just trying to play the NBA. We're trying to get the NBA back, and everybody's trying to get back to what they do for a living. So I would hope that would overcome that part of it. But that's the only way, because you compare the NBA to Major League Baseball, it's like, whoa, baseball's in their own parks and their own stadiums with everything going on, and how are they going to keep track of everything? You have too many variables that can enter the equation. At least in the bubble, you are stopping the variables. You're not going to stop COVID-19, but in the bubble, at least you have the best chance to keep it at bay and keep the NBA going. So I'm a complete bubble convert now.
Yeah, I have the two thoughts on it. The first, to address the optics of being quarantined at Walt Disney World. We're talking about generational wealth being earned here and pushed forward, right? You don't play this season, you change the CBA, monies have to change, and that informs the next decade plus. So you get this done here. Not only do you finish getting paid your money for the year, and the money comes from the TV revenue, and you push forward, and the machine rolls on. So for that, it's a smart business move, as well as an opportunity with the spotlight of the world on you to encourage messaging, as you will, for social justice, equality, economic reform, whatever your platform may be, as determined by what people put on the jerseys. And that's a whole other thing that'll come up as we go here. So talk about the cash considerations. As for the bubble itself, you and I have talked about this a lot. There's the one part that I wish they could go figure out how to get one of those big patches. What's that stuff that you can get where you can saw a boat in half and then lather it on the bottom and it sticks together and you go floating down the river? That's another 2 a.m. when you're not looking at infomercial stuff on Gwen Stefani.
No, that's how Iron Man closed the ship in Infinity War when they killed the one bad guy. Yeah, but the kid's seen more movies, and then they shot him out of the side like an Aliens, and then that's how Iron Man closed that up. That's what happened.
Yeah, I just can't remember what the name of that product is. Not that I'm going to give him. There you go. It's the. Well, I'm not even going to give him the.
Well, I can't remember the name of the bad guy that they shot out in
space. He doesn't pay me, so he can beat it. But thank you, Iowa Sam, for telling me in my ear what I need to know there. It will inform future purchases. But if I can get that to seal off what happens with the Walt Disney World staffers, that's the big problem I see here. Once you get everybody to the bubble, right, it's those last couple of weeks ahead of training camp where craziness happens because everybody's got to get loose one more time before they're locked down. Same thing here. Once you get to the bubble, I think there'll be enough activity. They'll be gambling on video games and playing into the wee hours of the night from their respective rooms. There's plenty there. The problem is with the Walt Disney World workers who get to leave and go home. So that's where the system, I think, needs to be fortified. And we know they're spending some $150 million or thereabouts to get this thing rolling. Let's make sure there's enough in the budget to do what we can with the worker side, whether they get to stay in a resort themselves, so they're on property and don't go home. And yes, it's sacrifice, but as Ted DiBiase once told us, everybody's got a price, that maybe there's enough financial incentive to where, all right, not only are you doing the altruistic thing of, hey, helping the NBA come off for economic and for psychological gains, but also the idea that you get to play a part in this and you're going to get paid pretty well to do so. Because them leaving each night, whatever testing protocols and everything are there, you've still added another higher coefficient to that variable as you put your equation together to try to make this thing a success. That's the one part of the plan that is still, to me, a little nebulous. But otherwise, it's the best thing we got going. So yeah, Let's take our shot.
And that's the only Adam Silver misstep in all of this, is that he comes up with all of this and he lays it all out, and we have everything planned and we're crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Everything's good. Commissioner, are you staying in the bubble? Oh, no, I'll be going back and forth. Oh, come on, man. Really?
You got to be there with your board shorts and a funky fedora and some zinc on the nose and get in hip deep with everybody else.
I don't know. I'll be going back and forth. And players have to be saying, wait. Hang on. The commissioner can go back and forth? Yeah, I'll be in and out. Don't worry. I'll see you guys. Then I got to pop out. Then I'll pop back in. Then I'll pop back out. I'll pop back in. Yeah, that's the one thing he did.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Cam is such a great big unknown with the Patriots that as much as they like Jarrett Stidham, they can't love him that much, because if they let's say he's our guy, well, then you're going out and getting Cam Newton. And there's a difference between going out and getting a quarterback who could potentially play versus one who can seize the job. Like what the Bears did with Nick Foles, right? This is, tells Mitchell Trubisky, listen, you've had your time and this is it. And if you don't, we have a guy here that can take the job from you. And we have, you know, he's done it before. You've seen it. He's got the track record. But Cam Newton's a guy that comes in saying Cam could just win the job outright. And that pressure of a young quarterback who you're giving the first taste of exposure to playing, you want to put him in a comfortable environment. Trubisky's been in a comfortable environment. He's been unchallenged for 3 years. He hasn't stepped up. So now let's give him a little bit of a challenge and bring in Nick Foles. If it doesn't work, well, it doesn't work. It's different because you bring in Cam Newton and suddenly Stidham's looking over his shoulder and he's, oh, all right. If the Patriots were that sold on Stidham, they wouldn't be signing Cam Newton. And the fact they signed him says, okay, we have to protect ourselves because we like Stidham, but just in case, are we? But because if you are 100% sold out, you're not doing it. You know, and any team that has the young quarterback they believe in, the Jets are not bringing in Cam Newton, right? The Bills aren't bringing in Cam Newton. Nobody's bringing in Cam Newton if you have the guy you believe in, but the Patriots do. So this tells you, as much as they like him, they don't believe in Stidham, and this is why they got Cam.
See, I'm going to disagree. I think with Darnold and with Josh Allen, you've seen them perform in long stretches with great success on the NFL level, right? Sam Darnold finished this season strong after seeing ghosts and battling mono. I mean, that's comeback player of the year kind of stuff.
It was mono first, then the ghosts, all right?
Ghosts
may be just something that was an effect of mono that we didn't know. Yes, we didn't know that weeks later. Yes, you saw ghosts, yeah.
Well, it's like the coronavirus. Sometimes we've got symptoms that we don't get to put together until months later.
All right.
You just don't know.
That's an odd comparison, but okay.
No, because people are finishing, and then it's like, oh, wait, now 6 months later, here's some other things that you could put up as possible precursors. Come on, I read way too much about this stuff, right? Stuff we thought were symptoms in March are now, by the way, this, and this. Add this to your list. And seeing ghosts may be one of them. I'm not sure. But with Josh Allen, whether you like him on the deep ball and there's still roughness to his game, there's a lot to like. With Jared Stidham, you've seen him in practice. You feel good about it. I'll take the analogy of I'm on the car lot and I've got a nice, safe, reliable thing that I think we can grow with. This, my family could grow with this for the next 10 years. And then maybe a used car rolls up. It's a little more of a sports car. Doesn't your eyebrow raise going, well, we could fit in that, can't we? It's only a couple of us now. We could do that. And that's kind of Cam Newton. It may be beat up. It may have had to have a little bit of work done, and you're not quite sure. So maybe you start thinking about that car a little bit more. And with Cam, the other thing you hear is you're also playing defense, right, against one of your would-be competitors coming up and getting him. Like I said, the other two, Darnold and Allen, those are the teams have already invested in them. They've already seen them. They know what can be done. With Stidham, there's still a little bit of a question. And as much as you love him, if Cam can come in and be the old Cam, you'd rather have the old Cam, right? And especially on an incentive-laden deal, the cost is minimal unless he exceeds and puts up huge numbers. So you do that plus any of your would-be AFC rivals that could have made a use out of Cam Newton. Well, now you get to flip them all off while he's quarterbacking or at least sitting on your bench. Kind of like a fantasy football move, right? I'd rather him sit on my bench and rack up stats and be on my bench rather than being in someone's lineup scoring against me. Same thing here.
Real quick on the NFL preseason is that it's good to see the NFL bending a little bit, because up until now it's been, you know, we will fight the coronavirus like we have a sword and a shield and they're a dragon. And we're going to do whatever we want to do and our calendar is going to go unabated. canceling the two preseason games, they kind of had to do that. No one's going to be ready to play a football game in a month. And so when you couple that with, well, where the world is, I can't see how the NFL is going to say, all right, we're going to play two preseason games. The first time, they're probably going to have teams that are going to be in their own individual bubble travel outside and go play somebody else and go play a bunch of other players and potentially get a bunch of COVID-19 tests that could jeopardize the start of the season. You're not going to do that, put them on planes and have them fly across country and go play. Why would you do that? I think this is a Band-Aid to get to no games. I said that since the story broke on Monday. I think we were going to have two games. Now we have two games, and eventually it's going to get down to zero games.
Yeah, make it go away for 1 year, and it's a different evaluation process than we've ever had. Locally, every team can do specials and documentaries for how you fill out the back end of the roster. For all I know, it's a Willy Wonka lottery. stuff in chocolate bars. Whatever the case may be.
You get that, nothing!
Yes, we just have to get to the season. However, whatever Band-Aid you have to apply to do that. No preseason. Most of the starters from a huge number of teams the last 2 to 3 years with varying degrees of success as to how that predicts what the season becomes. You've seen teams eschew playing guys all together. Here, watch. Put on a hoodie.
Yeah, Sean McVay ruined the regular season, ruined the preseason. I don't need to play anybody. We'll go to the Super Bowl. Oh, well, okay, I guess we don't need a preseason then. That's
right,
I showed
that's
you it's unnecessary.
It, right? Copycat league, and certainly you'd already had it trending that way with a lot of teams really limiting the exposure of their starters. So it was going to be different anyway. Figure out how you're going to close out the back end of the roster, and let's just get to opening day. Unfortunately, you can't all play a directional school as a warm-up like you do in college football, and there's only one Jets and one Jaguars.
Twitter, sorry. That's all right, buddy. I understand where we are in the pantheon of teams. It's okay. I've had 40-some-odd years to get used to it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Today and yesterday, really, are big celebratory days in sports. And there's not many. Look, it's been a rough last few months, to say the least, when it comes to everything going on in this country, coronavirus-wise and outside of it. But specifically coronavirus-wise, because we finally have been able to change a conversation that we've had every day for 3 months. And you know, it amazes me. I don't want to say the mileage, because it's not that we've been milking out this story, but every day, the daily drama and new bits of information we get as to when sports will return. I don't think anybody ever foresaw that doing this for a living, what we do. Okay, well, what are you going to talk about with no sports? How are you going to struggle? We haven't struggled for many reasons. You know, if you can get outside of sports, like shows can, like we can, it's going to be great. You know, you'll be able to do things. But the daily question of how close are we with sports coming back is nobody saw the popularity of that. And by that, I mean that it's taking up all the talk on the various TV shows during the day, on sports talk radio. Every day there's a bit of advancement or lack of advancement from baseball, from football, from the NBA. And it really has carried us through these next 3.5 months. But now, yesterday, today, tomorrow are three big days, because now officially baseball teams are reporting. They started reporting yesterday, where they're going through testing now, and the players have to sit and wait for 24 to 48 hours, and then Friday is going to be the big workout day, and there will hopefully be interviews and more of a pageantry of here comes Major League Baseball. But this is such a big yesterday, today, tomorrow, because now we've changed the conversation. And instead of the conversation being every day, when is sports coming up? How is this going? We're losing this and going in a circle. Now it's, okay, we are going to see the practical applications of coming back. And it's still going to be the daily, how does baseball get by this? But it's baseball with video of players working out and taking batting practice and pitching and doing interviews and hearing them talk about normal things like how so-and-so is going to work coming up from the minors and how they think this pitcher can win the fifth starting spot on the team. You're still going to get, because it's still all about coronavirus and how you play and how you stay safe and going forward, but now we're getting actual baseball and we're getting the teams on the field. And it's like I felt we had to get to these days to really, because it's a benchmark day to get to the next level of conversation where sports really, you can tangibly see them coming back. Because all the talk before, and even now, the NBA Orlando bubble stuff kind of sounds abstract a bit. That okay, because we haven't seen it in action yet, and you have all these visions in your head of what it's really going to be like. But now that baseball is here and we're going to get to see it, it's different. It's tangible. We've narrowed our focus now, and we are at the next phase. We talk about phases of the country reopening. We're at the next phase of sports reopening. Like, we're at phase one forever, right? Phase one for so long. Now we're at phase two. Hey, teams are showing up. And then phase three is when they're actually going to be able to play games, move on. Can we get to phase four and phase five? But we're in phase one of sports for so long. Can you do it? And now we're in phase two because you're seeing baseball teams and you're seeing them report.
Every day a step forward, right? Some hard lessons learned along the way. Maybe you get punched in the face and it's a step back. But we've had momentum, right? Different plans, all the different thought bubbles and test balloons that went out there. For baseball, it was the same handful of writers all the time. It's like everybody else just gave up and went and played video games for a while. With the NBA, we had a lot of silence. And then, okay, now we've got our bubble idea. And we proceed there with the NFL bit by bit. You're seeing as they make adjustments. But those are just still theoretical for the NFL and for the NBA. And as much as we like the bubble idea and we think that version 984.2 is the one that will work, they're going to be constantly tweaking it, right? There's the MLS are there this coming week. There's going to be learnings out of how they handled or didn't handle things, right? Quarantining players with positive tests and how that all works. So we have that. With baseball, I got excited yesterday seeing your arch nemesis, Bryce Harper, on a field, right?
Yeah, I got to say, I was excited seeing Bryce Harper, too. And you know how, right? Bieber Harper, you know?
No, but that's a pretty big deal, right? That you could say, okay, this is the first star that we're seeing taking some long throws, swinging a bat. He's got his hair up like he's hanging out with Liam Neeson in the Star Wars movies.
Liam Neeson. You could have gone to anybody for long hair. You went to Liam Neeson?
Well, because he put it up in the quasi-ponytail kind of thing.
He did. He did man bun it. Yes, he did.
But how many other man buns are there in the Star Wars universe?
I don't know. There's a blog for that. I'm sure there's a blog for that. You can find
it.
If you go to Man Bun Star Wars universe, I'm sure there's like all kinds
and
of entries.
And if John Ramos were on the board, he would know that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Iowa Sam, that is not his forte. But when we get down to it.
I don't get it.
Exactly. There's just the excitement of seeing guys on the field, and team by team they're reporting. In Chicago, I know there's excitement because they also had the announcement that some lucky few are going to be able to buy tickets to sit across the street in those apartments that have built the little stands up there, right? 25% capacity, and I have no idea what those are going to cost. Probably a pretty penny. But it starts to get the appetite whetted for actual baseball. And likewise, those pictures of Harper and him bringing up the Rocky quote, right? It's about how hard you can get up and keep moving forward. And that's what we have to do every day and try to navigate as we need to. Might be a little redirect here and there, but the first team sport is making their way to their venues. And if you're a baseball fan, hell, even if you're not, it is a positive sign for people trying to find solutions to a very difficult, sometimes seemingly untenable problem.
Yeah, and you know what we're going to get here, which is really interesting when you break it down. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, in for Doug Gottlieb today, is that you are going to see the first two sports come back, and they're going to do it completely different ways. Right, the NBA is coming back in an Orlando bubble, right? We got everybody together, and we're going to see if this works. And as I've told you, I'm a bubble convert. I went from this is a bad idea, you're not going to be able to figure everything out, there's too many moving parts, to this may be the best way forward because at least you have everybody under one roof, per se, and you are looking out for them at all times. Whereas if you leave everybody to their own devices, who knows what could happen? You introduce too many variables. And baseball's doing it the exact opposite. Everybody's going to be in their own home park, and we're going to be able to go out, and they're going to work out, and everybody's still going to get tested every day. But you have the bubble idea versus the can we do it how close to normal that we've always done it. And that's going to be the fascinating way. Which way is going to work better? Because I guarantee you all the other sports, the NFL, college football, college basketball, everything else that's waiting, the winter sports that are going to come in the fall, they're going to say, okay, what's going to work? You know, and that's why I have no problem pushing the football season and pushing the college basketball season, like Rick Pitino said, because you want some time to see what works, right? You want to say, okay, what works? What works better? Let's get some time for the bubble to see if that works. Or maybe Major League Baseball has it right. And if football would push the beginning of their season to the middle of October, then you'd get to see the practical applications of both of these. Because if football is still bent on reporting the end of July, well, what are we going to get? Baseball will have been playing for a grand total of 3 or 4 days. So you're not really going to have a lot to do there. And basketball is still going to be a couple of days away from actually starting. So you're not going to have any real data to say, okay, this is what works and this is what doesn't. Because whatever idea works the best, all the other sports are going to do. If the bubble works great and the NBA plays the rest of their season and Major League Baseball has problems, everybody's doing the bubble idea. And football's going to be in a bubble somehow, whatever they can do. Conversely, if the bubble doesn't work and Major League Baseball's figured out, okay, the risk is not that big a deal and we can trust the players, that's the way everybody's going to do it. But if you have football starting, everybody's reporting the end of July, there's no time, you know, and there's no reason why you can't have this go the beginning from the middle of October and on. Because the thing about football is this, is that the only reason we think the football season is, quote, in jeopardy right now or is up in the air is because football is bent on sticking to their timeline of we start when we want to. And we everything we've done so far has been whatever the coronavirus has going on, we're still going to do our league series. We're going to go through free agency. We're going to do the draft. We're going to have the schedule release. We're doing all of these things. Now they're bending a little bit with changing the preseason games from 4 to 2, but football's not under a timeline. They don't have to get done by any time. They could start in December if they wanted to. Yes, you would push the next league year down a little bit. Maybe you play 12 games. But if this is to get in a whole season, college football can start January 1st if you wanted to. And you can play 2.5 months and then go right to the bowl. You don't need 3 weeks in between the end of a season and bowl games or between that and the national championship game. Yes, you would compress the off seasons a little bit. But the only thing that has the NFL and college football season in jeopardy right now is their own hubris and their own spite of we start when we want to. Because if you open yourself up to, hey, push a little bit, learn, and then figure it out, we'd have a better chance of playing the entire football season without any kind of starts and stops. We wouldn't be worrying about it. If you told fans right now, hey, we're going to push the start of the season to the beginning of November, but we are playing 100%, fans would say, great, awesome, we're going to play, we got it, you're telling me? Okay, I'll be ready to start beginning in November. And everything else can go according to. In college football, you can wait until the players actually get a chance and colleges get back to come to campus. Can you actually have people on campus? USC is saying, hey, we're gonna have distance learning for the beginning of school now. Give schools a month or a month and a half to figure things out, and then you know, yes, we can play, yes, we can have athletes on campus, or we can't. It just makes sense. But football is so stuck in their own, this is how we do it, that you can't get out of your own way. If you decided to do that, there's no time constraints for the football, college football season. None at all.
All right, let me address the USC thing first. They and other universities across this country that want to do distance learning in the fall, that's fine. That means the football players can run amok on a campus with nobody else there, and it's just them in their own mini bubble, which is as big as the campus. They still do distance learning online, and they get ready for a football season. Boom, done. As for the rest of it, you can't guarantee that they'd be ready in November, right? You can take learnings from the NBA, from Major League Baseball, apply, etc., but there's still no perfect scenario here, right? A vaccine isn't a cure, and you're still dealing with a lot more variables and, well, a lot more players to that end in terms of how this game moves forward. So I would like to think in the league office, in addition to whatever other outstanding disciplinary measures are there, hi, Antonio Brown, that you've got a number of different plans in place. You might not be verbalizing them and putting them out up for public consumption to be batted around like a beach ball, like the NBA and Major League Baseball did. Major League Baseball was more just, here's our labor battle. But the NBA was, how about this? How about that? And then they went quiet. And then they came back eventually with the bubble after weeks of rumor and tinkering in the media and everybody's starting to chirp about it a little bit. So now we have these systems set up before the NFL. College is always just tricky because every conference looks at football differently, right? It's wholly in the South. And where we're looking, the SEC world, here where we are in Southern California, I think there's a lot of, do we have to play? Do I need to see these two teams in action to some level? Clay Helton and company and Chip Kelly as we get rolling. I mean, it's just looked at differently. But all in all, you know, there's no perfect way to go through this, Jason. So I know you want to minimize risk as you can, but you can't stall forever.
Eventually, I'm not saying stall. I'm saying let's just be smart about it and figure out a day when it can start.
If
it,
right, you know, but
you
again,
don't go to the beach
that,
on a rainy day. You say let's do it another couple of, let's do it when the sun is out. I mean, it's unprecedented times we're in. Unprecedented.
Yeah, but
times.
We can't keep saying, all right, another 6 weeks, and then by time that perfect spot hits, we might be celebrating the next anniversary of Jaws next June.
Mm. Or we, by the time it hits, we're not having, you know, 40 or 50 new thousand coronavirus cases a day. So there could be that too. It's look, a lot of it's a risk. A lot of it is what to do, you know, how to do it. But to think that you're under the time constraints of it, that's the big thing. That's the big thing that football, and that's why I'm glad they're a little flexible with what's going on now, and hopefully they can be a little bit more flexible.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Happy Thursday. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon in for Doug Gottlieb today. We got What Does the Fox Say coming up in a few minutes. Got some big NBA stories to get to, but there is no one better to talk NBA with than the man joining us now on the hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at The Ryan Hollins. That's at The Ryan Hollins. You see him on Fox, on ESPN, everywhere else. It is the aforementioned friend of the show, Ryan Hollins. What's happening, man? How you been?
What's up, bros? What's going on?
Dude, it's been a minute, man. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Hanging in as best we can. If you think about it, Mike, me and you were going back and forth like, things going to shut down. We don't think so. Wow, that seems a bit much. I mean, gosh, were we wrong.
Oh, yeah. Operation shutdown on a whole other level.
Oh, man.
Hey, has any team called you to come be a fill-in player in the bubble?
Listen, I haven't gotten that phone call, baby. But, buddy, listen, give me a week. Give me a hot week, and I am ready.
All right. If someone called you right now and said, how many up-downs could you give us? How many up-downs could you give us if we signed you? How many could you do?
Oh, up-down, I mean, I'll go till I pass out. Like, there is no number. Like the mental part of it, the crazy part of it is still in there, okay? There's no number. I'm going till I pass out. Like.
And there's Ryan Hollins, who is completely passed out on the floor. Timeout. They want to talk it over as they pull his body off of the floor. I don't think Hollins will be coming back in. I mean, that would be...
Well, you got to simulate Marv because he's not going to the bubble.
Not exactly what Ryan Hollins had in mind. Faceplant. That's how it would be.
Oh, God.
But so where are you on the bubble? You know, I got to admit, I'm a bubble convert because at first I thought, how are you going to pull this off? There's too many moving pieces. You know, look, DeMar DeRozan said today, it's overwhelming, it's frustrating. I get that. But in the end, Ryan, I think like this may be the only thing that lets us play because we need an overarching force like the NBA to be looking out for all of the players to keep them all healthy. Where are you on the bubble?
Hey, I'm all in. And the one thing that you can be assured of is that the NBA has and the NBPA have done their due diligence of just seeing how the bubble could and would work. And keep in mind, there's so many sponsors of the NBA. There's so many deals that are in play. And then the sponsors have sold NBA rights to television, you know, thinking about Turner and ESPN and various Gatorade, McDonald's, various other outlets. So you want to make good on those relationships. And not just even beyond that, I think about the beautiful relationships the NBA had met because, you know, think about UCLA, Under Armour's talking about pulling out, you know, things are going on over there. But, you know, there's just understanding that, hey, COVID-19 is happening and we got to get back to playing basketball. And I have trust in this system that's going to get put in place so that we can actually continue and play. And if you look at some of these other leagues, the NBA bubble may be a bit of a foundation to take from. You know, we're talking about NFL even getting started up and traveling, and how is that going to work? So this may be the way that sports is played from here on out, at least in the immediate future.
Short-term working to the bubble, Ryan, but we got a couple of guys that have opted out. A couple that are still on the fence, right? We're still waiting on Lou Williams and Dwight Howard. Avery Bradley is out. How does that sit in the locker room? As much as people may say publicly, I understand he's got to do him. Is that really where it ends?
Every reason is different. Everyone is completely different. Trevor Reese, I play with Trevor. Good, like brother of mine, man. I love Trevor to death. There's no question. And Trevor, this is the month where he's with his kid. And mm-hmm. the one thing I know about Trevor, you know, personally for other reasons, he does not play around with family. He doesn't play around with kids. So for him missing, I think that's absolutely understandably so. Avery Bradley, that's a little brother of mine right there, man. I played in Boston with him. He has the heart of a champion, and everybody knows the way he leaves it on the floor night in and night out. This isn't like a lazy guy, sloppily, you know, getting up and down the floor in the NBA. And his kid has respiratory problems. So, you know, he doesn't want to risk anything there. So there's definitely understanding from teammates. You never want to get in another guy's situation or another guy's pockets because that could easily be you one day. But if a guy comes with a reason that's not quite that valid or not understood, you could have some sour feelings towards a player in a locker room.
So what about you if it was you? You were playing, you're in the middle of your career, and everything is going. It's okay, it's time for you to go. Are you all in going? Are you going with reservations? Are you not going? Where are you if this was you, you're here, your decision to go in and go play?
Man, I played 10 years in the association. I was on a Boston Celtics team that, you know, was a game away from going to the championship. Please don't remind me. No, thank you, LeBron. that happened. I was a part of the Lob City Clippers team here. And I know the goal is always to get a championship. So I would be all in on playing. I couldn't wait to get back to the bubble. And the reality is a lot of these guys are already, you know, have been training and kind of working out or sneaking into gyms here and there. So you're really excited for this season to end. And like, you know, like, you, like, dude, like, where's the ending? Like, we had all these amazing storylines. Giannis Antetokounmpo battling LeBron for MVP. You know, Kawhi Leonard, is he the king of the NBA? The Lakers and Clippers rivalry started heating up. You know, Jason Tatum over there for the Boston Celtics, you know, he was surprising a lot of guys. Paul George getting healthy for the Lakers. There's just so much going on in the NBA that, you know, you got to have a good ending, man. We're not talking about the ending. What is somebody's volleying for? What is Game of Thrones, man? The last season of Game of Thrones, man. We got to have a bang to this, man. It's been too good, baby. It's been too good.
Ryan Hollins on Fox Sports Radio. He's on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins. All right, now you would get there. You would be excited to get in. There's going to be some teams that are going to want to show up and be a little nervous and go, you know what, we're not going to win a championship. I'm here for eight games or eight games in one playoff round, and I'm going to go home. How many teams are just there to put in the appearance because they have to? Out of the 22 teams that are going, how many do you think are just there, we want to play, we're ready to go home? How many are there to say, we're ready to go win a championship?
Well, man, listen, in our reality of realities, there's three teams that you can sit back and say legitimately have a championship shot. Like we would favor. We feel comfortable with Milwaukee, the Lakers, and the Clippers. As far as the teams who probably don't have a shot, I mean, we can point them out pretty easily, or the team's just kind of going on vacation. And, you know, we saw Davis Bertans say, yeah, I'm not sure about joining this deal. So obviously the Wizards, the Kings, and a handful of other guys are just kind of going along for the ride. And as far as, you know, a championship, you know, I'll give you some teams that I think believe they have a shot. They're going all in. And, you know, I've been a part of those internal talks in the locker room where you really feel like, hey, like it's us against the world. I think the Miami Heat are someone to look out for. We talked about the Boston Celtics a little earlier. The Houston Rockets have really gone all in on the championship. They've gone all in on small ball, guys. And, you know, obviously small ball, you make a move like that because you feel like it gives you an edge to go and win a championship. And let me think of another team. Oh, Eastern Conference, because I think the East is a whole lot more wide open
of the reigning champions. You know, right? That sounds weird. You're like, reigning champions? Who are you talking about, the Lakers? No, no, no. I'm talking about the Toronto Raptors. I think they've been defensively sound all year. You know, you minus Kawhi, and that's not a small minus, but those guys went through the war, and they definitely had a part in the championship last year.
All right, one more. I'm going to take you back to the bubble and conceptually. If there was one question about how this all comes together that you could ask the commissioner, what's the one variable in here that you would want to ferret out?
How strict are we going to be on who gets in and who gets out? You know, I was joking with a current player yesterday, and I said, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Jack Nicholson was courtside in that bad boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder, like, are we selling, like, exclusive tickets? Like, I mean, nice. Like, my God. Like, think about what that fan experience would be like. Like, Denzel, you know what I'm saying? Like, Drake, Jamie Foxx, like these super fans. I forget the name of my guy who drives the old school car around. He's got always the leather pants and the cowboy hat and all that. You know, if I talk about it, I'm forgetting his name. But, like imagine, like, are we allowing super fans? Can you buy your way into the bubble? Like, how deep is this? If you get a test and you're clear, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who is going to be there? So I'm intrigued of what is it going to look like. And I talked to a number of guys. There's this anxious feeling about getting in, and I understand it. And there's this, like, a nervousness of what to expect in there. But I feel a number of guys that they're ready, dude. They're ready to get back and play basketball. And too often, guys, forgive me if I'm wrong, I feel like we project our own insecurities onto NBA players, and NBA players are, at least in their minds, somewhat bulletproof. And that's how you have to be to compete in the NBA. But looking at LeBron, look at AD, look at Paul, like, look at these guys. Like, they're ready to go and play basketball.
Now, lastly on this, just because you brought it up, I could tell by your Twitter account, you weren't the happiest to hear Adam Silver saying, I'm going to come and go as I please. You know, all the players have to stay. Oh, but I'm going to show up. Hey, I'll say, hey, I'll pop out. I'll pop back in. I could tell you're not a big fan of Commissioner Silver saying that.
Listen, here's the one thing. Hats off to Commissioner Silver, everything that he's done. But I think this is a decision that he's going to have to rethink. He's either going to have to Skype himself in the beginning and show up for the ceremony. You know what I'm saying, guys? Like who knows? Maybe he can, like, what's the on the futuristic movies? Like, the guy has, there's like a 3D layout of him or whatever.
Hologram.
Yeah, hologram.
The Adam Silver hologram. Yeah. Hello, gentlemen.
You know? But, like, no, I mean, like, seriously, but, like, you can't. We're all blasting, like, who's going to be the idiot to step out the bubble and think he comes back and ruin his team's playoff chances. Like, we're all talking about that. Like, myself and Brendan Haywood were like, dude, there's no way that 2011 Wizards team, you know, goes into the bubble and doesn't ruin everything. You know what I'm saying? Contaminate stuff. Like, we were joking on, and it's like, dude, like, Adam, you can't do this. Like, we're already, like, from the media perspective, we're already drilling the players to say, don't do it. Don't be that guy. So, like, Adam, you got to be in and out, in my opinion. And I understand there's a business of basketball much further than myself or you or anybody knows or things that happen. So I just think or if you're going to do it, Adam, just don't tell us. Okay. Go out the Mickey Mouse exit, go out that exclusive bad boy and don't tell us. But I don't think it was the best message, man. Cause we're trying to corral these guys into, you know, respecting the rules and regulations of the bubble for everybody's safety. And, like, I think beyond this, like, unless a player has a pre-existing condition, to my knowledge, they're going to be fine. But a lot of coaches and equipment man and assistant trainers, they're 50, 60 years plus. There's someone down there that could be at risk. So, you know, the last thing you want to do, man, we love the NBA staff. You don't want to put anybody at risk by doing such.
You can follow him on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins. That is at the Ryan Hollins. Hear him right here on Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports One. You can see him ESPN everywhere. Great to catch up with you, my friend. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Hey, fun stuff, fellas.
All right. See you, brother. Be good.
Great stuff there from Ryan Hollins.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
We have big news that has just come in from the NBA. You heard Isaac Lowenkron talk about it a few minutes ago. Agent Wojnarowski, ESPN senior NBA insider, put this out on Twitter about 20 minutes ago that the NBA is not have, it's like contact with Jodie Foster. Not one way to travel, but two ways to travel. Not one bubble the NBA is going to have in Orlando, but the NBA is closing in on signing off on a second bubble in Chicago for the eight teams that were not invited to play in Orlando. So the Knicks can go to the NIT of bubbles. This will enable mini training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. Agent Wojnarowski and Jackie McMullen of ESPN both having this story. So mainly what it means is this. We're going to have the NBA play the rest of the regular season, or try to play the rest of the regular season and the playoffs in the bubble in Orlando. And then in September, the teams that were not invited to play because you're too far back to make the playoffs, they're going to have a mini bubble of their own to have some kind of training camps and games against other teams. So in theory, what this does is this makes it equal footing for the teams not invited to be able to have some time on the court to play because, look, let's face it, with so much time between the pausing of the NBA season and the restart now, you're going to have a lot of teams playing in August and into September. So when the NBA does restart later on this year for the 2020-2021 season, these teams are going to have more of an advantage because they'll have just played more recently, and mm-hmm. these eight teams aren't going to have it. So this kind of levels the playing field now that says, okay, we're going to have these teams play here in August and September, and great, here's a mini bubble in September as well for the other eight teams, so they get to play. I'm sure they'll have some kind of crazy-ass championship. Maybe the Knicks can win that. When there's only eight teams, maybe the Knicks can win. Who knows?
So there's this a trophy in the shape of a hot dog.
It doesn't matter. Maybe you get down to three teams the Knicks can win. Down to one team the Knicks can win. Who knows? But this is going to serve as that equaling to the teams that are playing right now. Then I'm sure you're going to have a shorter training camp when the NBA does start later on this year. And I would think in the end, the NBA wanting to start around the normal time, hey, we're going to come back and play in November, I got to think that's going to get pushed a little bit. I think we're going to be back to more of a December start for the NBA even later, because it sounds great and ambitious now, but you're going to pull this off and you're going to play all the way through, and then you're going to have the teams play in September, and you have these teams play here, and then suddenly you're going to wait a month and turn around and have another long full season. That's a lot. You know, players mentally have been through a ton, you know, in the NBA and in other sports they're going to go through it as well, but basketball more than anything, because the resumption of the season has always been, you know, what are we going to do? We got to stay in shape and be ready to play. And it's different from Major League Baseball, where it's, hey, we're hoping we're going to play and we're staying in shape and we're, you know, we're throwing and we're fielding and we're hitting. But really the NBA has been, okay, we've been in pause for a long time. Mentally, you're going to need to give these players a break. And that's why I think in the end, it's going to wind up getting pushed a bit. You're going to play in December, maybe even later. And maybe you wind up with a brand new calendar, right? You wind up with a 70-game calendar. You start a little bit later, and that really stems the tide of where the NBA was at, because you were at loggerheads with an 82-game season and teams playing back-to-back and players basically just sitting out the front or back ends of back-to-backs. The season has grown too long in the NBA. The NBA has become a year-round sport, and so you're going to need to actually cut the games. So it could wind up being one of those happy accidents where, hey, we're going to play 70 games instead of 82. Yes, it's less money, but you're talking about regular season games. You're talking about a better product. And when NBA owners have gone this long without any revenue, hey, we're back to 70 game a year revenue. Okay, we're missing five or six games a piece. All right, we can deal with that. We can deal with that if that's going to make the players happy. And the players are driving the bus on everything going on in the NBA now. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of this chain reaction, where first bubble in Orlando, they finish. Second bubble, they have to push the start because they realize the players are exhausted, need a break, need some time away, back with their families. We have a 70-game season, and that's what we wind up adopting in full in future seasons in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, we've always been looking for that Christmas target date, right? It's long been said ever since they shuttered the blue-gray game. Yeah, that's right. My homage annually to the blue-gray game and betting on Christmas morning that we don't get to do. Ever since the NBA took that over, that seemed like the obvious starting point. So maybe we get to that, and obviously it's all the massaging of the local and national TV rights and where the monies are and how that flow, and we certainly have that. Sell more patches on the jerseys maybe as well. But for the second bubble, it feels like that college football bowl game, All right, we're only going to the one that's played on December 18th. So on a grand scale, it doesn't mean a lot, but we get an extra month of practice. So let's go and let's roll, right? Free agency and the draft and everything still have to play out, but you're still looking at a core, and if you have some younger players at the end of the bench who haven't hit many minutes, maybe you give them a more extensive look through and look-see here in the 8-team bubble. Now, granted, the level of competition isn't fierce. They are the eight teams that were left out for a reason. But you at least get a little more of a look-see. I'm trying to do it with a straight face, but that was
well, of course, listen.
I'll give myself credit for that one.
Look, the thing is, none of the teams who got left out are upset at being left out. They're not making the play. They were done. Oh, look, Steve Kerr, you could say, listen, hey, bring the Warriors. We're going to put everybody's record at 0-0. And you have it. And Steve Kerr would say, yeah, no, we're done. We're not playing this season.
My guys are
all
hurt.
Those teams
were happy. Yeah, they'll come and do some workouts, but that's it.
No, look, that's how it's going to be. Every team that didn't get invited is happy because they're too far out. Look, a lot of teams that got invited to go aren't going to be happy. And you're going to see a lot of teams that are going to go in there, and you're going to be able to tell right away, these are teams that are there to play their eight games and go home, or eight games and one series in the playoffs and then go home. You're going to see a lot of sweeps. You're going to see a lot of series aren't going to go seven games because it's not going to be the back and forth of, boy, they'll take these two at home and then they'll win these two at home. You're playing on neutral courts. You're going to be able to tell right away the teams that are in it to try to win a championship and the teams who want to go home. And that's why winning a title is going to be both easier and harder in the bubble, because harder because you're dealing with all kinds of stuff outside of just playing the game, but easier because when the playoffs start, everybody's all in. Hey, we can pull an upset. We can do this. We can make this run. Many teams are going to say, you know what? We just want to show up, play, and go home. And that's it, and we're done, and we need some stressful relaxation of what's been going on and coming back and the nervousness that's being built up with coming into play. So you'll be able to tell that right away. And playoff series are going to be short, and eventually we're going to get to the cream and the teams who really want to win, and those are going to be the teams there at the end that are going to be the Lakers and the Clippers and the Celtics and, you know, maybe the Raptors and the Bucks. Those are going to be the teams that are left there at the end, and the Rockets. That's who you're going to wind up seeing in the end in the last couple of rounds, because those are the teams that say, we can win a title, we're ready to go do it.
Well, what's also the curiosity here is if we can inject some truth serum to this whole thing of how many of these teams have really actually been working out in groups already, right? It can't just be the rumored LeBron and a bunch of guys at a rich guy's court, right? I got to believe, you know, and there were all those jokes at the beginning of the pandemic of these guys don't even have a rim to play on, so you have to ship them gear. They don't have any weights. They don't have any fitness balls or bands or anything else. I'm like, I'm not buying that. I mean, obviously, you have your facilities, and why spend your own money on stuff when you can't? But I got to imagine there's a little bit of stuff that had found its way to players to get them ready. So you'll have teams that are all in and ready to roll as the bubble opens up. And they've been playing outside, right? We've been talking about that for weeks as well. Guys that were playing in pickup games at the park and hanging out and everything else. It's going to be a lot safer in the bubble, right? You're not eliminating anything 100%. You can't, as we've talked about, unless you're laying in the corner of your house, no food coming in or out, all canned and dry good from the basement that have been sitting there for a while, mm-hmm. and you've not gone to get gas, take a walk around the neighborhood, or done anything outside your house, everybody's got some slight percentage of chance based on where you've been, the pharmacy, the grocery store, etc. Likewise, the bubble for the NBA. Once they're there, they're still probably safer than wherever they've been playing ball and getting together. So, you know, some of that will be the sigh of relief. And maybe they're tired of their families, okay? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy, but I feel like I need to be that guy to say, you know what? I've been staring at your face for 4 months now. I taught you English. I taught you math. And we read a lot of Shakespeare together. I'm done.
You're breathing too loud. You've been breathing too loud for the past 3 days, and it's really pissing me off, okay? Look, and here's the other thing about the second bubble is that how many teams are going to want to go? I mean, do these teams want to go? I mean, in theory, they're going to go, well, it's an uneven playing field now. Okay, we got another bubble for you guys in September. Oh, Well, I'm not saying we want to do that. I would just rather just complain that we didn't get invited and not have to worry about the repercussions. I don't know that really want to go and do this in September. So I wonder if you're going to see teams that are going to want to opt out of the bubble in September too.
It's a group of guys showing up to play. Quasi teams.
It's human. It's human nature to feel that way. And, you know, a bigger point on both of these things that I think we have to remember when it comes back to players who are playing baseball and players who are playing in the NBA and any athlete is that, yes, they make a lot of money. And this has always been at the root of any sort of underlying jealousy or hatred that fans have of players. Well, they make the money. They should do this. They should do this. They should do this. And, yeah, okay, with great money comes great responsibility. But just under
steal from Spider-Man?
Well, it's kind of a different Spider-Man. You know, I mean, it would be a different movie if Spider-Man was rich. You know, just some rich guy. Like if Spider-Man was Iron Man, you know, or Ben Affleck. What's your superpower? I'm incredibly rich. But just to understand for a second, think about every day our lives right now as we try to navigate life through the coronavirus pandemic, is that at your job, most likely your managers, your bosses have figured out ways to, okay, how you can continue to work and social distance and do your job from home. And we're going to make it safe for you. And if you don't feel comfortable coming in, we don't feel comfortable coming in. Look, here at Fox, that's what they did right away. They said, listen, we're going to get people boxes so they can do shows from home. So if you want to so you guys can all feel safe and do the shows from home, this is how we're going to do it. And it's been great for us, you know, being able to continue to do this programming every single day. We're very fortunate in that extent. And anybody who has a job that has allowed themselves to continue to do their jobs from home are very fortunate. You know, look, we talk about what the unemployment rate is, and hopefully we get past this and everybody gets back to work. But for people who are working through this, by and large, their place of employment has been very I don't want to say optimistic, but they've been very forward and understanding in doing a job remotely, doing it from home, doing it so you stay safe, can take care of family and work. Now think about the NBA for a second, where the NBA has been told, yeah, because of what we do, you kind of have to show up and come together, and we understand you are putting your health at risk to come play. Because that's one thing the NBA can't say it that way, but you really are. Because NBA players, you're safe at home. If you're not going out, you're not doing anything, you're safe at home. But now we're telling you, you have to work, you have to come in, you have to show up here. We're going to put you in a situation that anybody in the country would say is unsafe. Dr. Anthony Fauci would say, whoa, not social distancing. Yeah. And you're going to have to play hard. You have to be near people. You have to be breathing on each other. You are going to have to do this. You are putting your health at risk to go play basketball. So understand for a second that they're being asked to do what likely many of us are not. How would we feel at Fox Sports Radio if our bosses, Don Martin and Scott Shapiro, said, hey, yeah, we're going forward with programming, great, but you guys got to all come in and do your shows like normal. I go, wait a minute, the country says we should be social distancing. Nope, you and Harmon are going to be 3 feet away from each other like you normally are. You're going to work with everybody else in the studio, and we're going to have the update anchors are going to be in, and we have our producers, we have our interns who are going to be in. They're going to be working just like normal. You would say, oh, wait a minute, hang on a second. Let's try to figure this out. I don't know that I'm down with this. NBA players, Major League Baseball players, athletes, they have no choice. They have to do this. They have to go through this. So when you want to sit here and say, ah, guys don't want to go play, guys want, realize that they're putting their health at risk to go play. Yes, they're going to be getting paid a lot of money, and they're going to be in a resort in Walt Disney World to do this. But they're asked to do something that really hardly any of us are asked to do, and that is put our health at risk to continue to be employed. And that's a big thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, psychologically, you've got to figure out where that line is, right? Also in what you can afford, expectations, family, team reliance. Like, there's a lot of considerations, right? We certainly don't want to trivialize it or minimize it. And it's what I've argued all along, Jason. Everybody reduced the, I don't want to say everybody, I hate that word in this, but many people reduced the baseball fight to millionaires and billionaires. But it's not. They're still people. They still want some data and some understanding of how it's going to work and flow through, not to mention the, you know, millions upon millions of people that have their work and their dollars and financial livelihoods tied to the sports and their well-being as well. I mean, there's a whole lot that flows out of those decisions. So it's going to be curious to see as we push forward, you know, what other variables present themselves and how ready leagues are to make adjustments. But I would certainly love to be the guy on the scene in the bubble in Chicago when it's 99% humidity in September.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, we have not one special guest, but two special guests. Our first guest, former NFLer Ron Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter at 3RonJohnson. That's at 3RonJohnson for a Baltimore Raven. Right now, he is a NFL and college football analyst for KFAN and Fox 9 in Minnesota. Ron, what's happening, my friend?
Not much. How's it going?
Dude, You're a fun follow on Twitter, posting all those videos of your dad who played in the NFL for a long time, and here he is, you know, shutting down some wide receivers. It's pretty fun seeing you do that.
Yeah, you know, it's been fun to see the Steelers fans who find those old clips because, I mean, I was around 6 to 8 the last time he played, so I really, you know, I think back then, you know, it was handheld cameras that had the huge reel around it and, you know, film that had to be developed in dark rooms, and so I never really saw a ton of tape besides whatever ESPN would play from time to time of the 78-79 Super Bowls, and that was about it. So it's been cool for people to find stuff, find different articles, news clippings, and so, you know, I've just been keeping track of it, you know, saving stuff, and I wish it was around when he was alive so I could have told him after watching some of that stuff. There's no way he could have guarded, because he swore to, you know, every day he would have kicked my ass when I was a kid, and he would have beat me, you know, on the field. He would have punched me, beat me up. And, you know, now I look at it, I'm like, dude, like, you were skinny. Like, he was bigger when I was a kid, but when he played, he was skinny. I'm like, there's no way.
You'd have been like Brandon Marshall, just body him away from the ball, going, Dad, I'm going to catch 12 balls on you in this every game, Dad. 12 balls,
right?
I'm going to catch on you. Hey, NFL-wise now, you know, a couple of big things I want to get your take on here. The NFL preseason is now down from 4 games to 2 games. I'm sure, look, the players love that idea. And, you know, any chance you get to talk to the players around there, any of the players there in Minnesota that, hey, do you think they'll really like this idea? Do they want to see it go down to 0 games? What do you think?
I think for the veterans, they're happy with this. The rookies are not. And I know, you know, a couple of the younger guys that just got drafted via interviews that I've done with them. One kid from Saginaw, Michigan, who's now a Minnesota Viking. You know, those guys want those games because game one, you know, the rookies and the guys that really are bubble guys play a ton. And then game four, they play the whole game because vets are like, you know, we know we made the team. And so that's kind of their time, one, if they're not going to make that team, to put more tape on film for other GMs who make that cut down to 53. And then they're looking around for maybe 3 or 4 special teams, bubbles type guys that are going to be, you know, their 5th DB or their 6th DB or their 4th or 5th receiver. You know, that's their opportunity. So I think it's a split. Vets are like, great, you know, we don't have to go through this. Rookies are kind of like, ah, man, I wish I could have had that extra time. So now it's going to be strategic of how they do it. But, yeah, I mean, I'll be at CJ Ham's house on July 14th actually selling bracelets. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, I talk to CJ Ham all the time, and I talk to, you know, Adam Thielen from time to time. Tyler Johnson, who's now a rookie going to the Bucks. And, yeah, I mean, you get both sides. You get the guys that know they're going to make a team, so they're fine with it. But then, you know, those guys that are coming in as a bubble guy, they're like, you know, kind of cringing a little bit. Like, okay, so how else are we going to get this stuff on film and let these GMs know, you know, what we can do?
All going out with jugs guns on their private fields and doing workout videos, I guess, right? Here, look, I'm training. I'm in shape.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, they're going to have to, like, I just saw a video today of Adam Thielen and Tyler Johnson, you know, Chad Beebe, and forgot the other guy, Tajay Sharp. They were out there today doing football-type stuff with a helmet on. I mean, you see Russell Wilson throwing balls, not Antonio Brown and DK Metcalf, you know. So it's going to be guys just trying to figure out ways to get some extra football in right now. Because right now, normally, I mean, think about it. We're normally in OTAs right now and mini camps, and guys are actually doing this stuff with their teammates. And so now you cut the preseason down even more. You know, guys are just going to be, you know, thirsty, looking for ways to create, you know, football atmosphere and get that full go type stuff and put it on film. I mean, Antonio Brown, we know exactly why he put that, you know, route on camera right now. He wants GM to see he can still run, he can still catch. So, you know, that's what it's going to be. We're going to see a lot of Twitter videos, I think, coming up soon of guys out there doing their drills, showing how good they are just in case they don't make a roster. You know, hey, I put film on Twitter. I don't know how good that is. I don't know how many GMs are going to take that and say, okay, let's use this Twitter film. But, I mean, this is a new age we're in right now. With COVID, who knows how they're going to have to scout.
Ron Johnson. Go ahead, Ron.
Ron, if you had to right now, though, if you had to saddle up and get ready for camp, would you feel comfortable doing it?
Me personally, I would. I mean, I think I would. If the way, and in my age, I guess. So if I'm like Gronkowski, if I'm Tom Brady, yes, because I know what I need to do to get to where I got to be. So I know exactly what drills, I know how much I need to work out, what my conditioning needs to be. I think those guys are going to be just fine. I think offensive tackles, and this is a weird one to look at, offensive tackles are going to have a tough time because the game speed of a defensive end coming at them full speed, a guy like Danielle Hunter, you know, DeMarcus Ware type guys, you're not going to be able to get that, you know, that timing down. And so it's going to be real interesting early on. I think we're going to see a ton of three-step drops from quarterbacks because I don't know who's going to be comfortable taking a seven-step drop when you don't really know what your guys have been doing, where they're at condition-wise, mentally where they're at, because, you know, we've had time to kind of sit together and go over all our checks. I mean, when I coached with the Colts for 2 years watching, you know, Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne and those guys put the offense together in the offseason, I mean, they're not getting that time right now. So it's going to be real interesting, some of these younger quarterbacks or these newer quarterbacks to these teams who haven't been there for years, who really don't know how to command a huddle or command, you know, go on the field and just say, I know that's cover two, I know that's cover four, I know that's cover six guy, whatever it is, you know, you're going to have the vets that can get through it. You're going to have these rookies that struggle.
One more before we get to our special guest that's going to join all of us here. Ron Johnson, KFan, Fox 9 football analyst in Minnesota, our guest here, former NFLer with the Ravens. Now, you played college at Minnesota, and there's a lot of talk right now about, you see all the players who are getting COVID-19 and how college football seems to be pushing forward and kind of out of the spotlight a bit. I get a little nervous that college football needs a little more oversight right now because you're talking about kids and it seems like we're gathering everybody, getting ready to go. And I'm like, are you really going to be able to play a game in 6 weeks? I feel like college football needs it. We need to spend a little bit more attention on that now, as well as what's going on in the pros.
Yeah, the tough thing about those guys is they're going to school too. So football and pros, you can kind of control them a little bit because it's just home practice, family. With college kids, like you said, I mean, they're on campus. They're having to go eat at different places. They're having to interact with different people. And so, yeah, right now you're seeing like Clemson have a huge spike in COVID tests with their team. So Lord only knows what they were doing down there. You know, the Gophers, I talked to one of their coaches, and they're trying to do like a two-day quarantine as a group. And then bring them together, and then same thing, testing every day. And if anybody has it, trace where he's been, quarantine those guys. And, yeah, so it's going to be – I think it needs to be a ton of oversight with college because these are kids, you know. And the one good thing about their age, though, is that age group is fighting it. They're getting through it. They're quarantined for 14 days, and then they're back out there. So, yeah, I mean, they need to come up with a plan for if a guy does have it. How do you, you know, deal with that? How does, you know, does your team still travel? I mean, it's just crazy right now. And honestly, I mean, I'm not saying it's the answer, but at some point it might just be, you know, all the football players are just going to end up having it. You know, kind of like the chicken pox, and they just need to all be around each other and then get through their 2 weeks and then go play football. I mean, I don't really know if that's the answer or not, if that's safe or not. But it's you know, I don't know how much longer we can get through this without just saying the football season needs to be canceled because that's where they're headed.
Great stuff from Ron Johnson. And getting set to join us now as we get away from football for a few minutes here, because now he's just going to be known as Cameron's dad. You know, that's exactly where you're going now, because maybe you've seen Ron Johnson, heard about him. Look, obviously doing all stuff NFL-wise, analyst he's been, but you've probably seen his name in the news because his daughter Cameron, 9-year-old daughter of now former NFL player Ron Johnson, because before, and when you saw this on the internet, it was just, oh, Cameron's dad said this. Now, oh, hey, oh, her dad played in the NFL. Let's put that in all the stories, because what Cameron and her family are doing is amazing. You have probably read about her. She has raised over $100,000 for various charities in Minnesota selling bracelets off her lawn was how it started a few weeks ago. And, you know, Ron, I know you said you thought that, well, we'll make a few $100s. It'll be great. But now you're up over $100,000 and counting, and all the different places you've given that money to. Can Cameron pop on with us for a couple minutes here?
Yeah, he's right here.
Hey, Cameron, can you hear us? Oh, Cameron, you got us?
Yep.
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I want to say congratulations on everything you've been doing. You've made a lot of money for a lot of people who need it. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, how did you come up with this idea to sell bracelets like this?
We were on the driveway making bracelets, and my friend Xander said that we should give the money to the people of Minneapolis and the families need.
Wow. That's so a great cool. idea. So are you still doing it now? You out on in front of your house and still making bracelets?
Yeah.
Or is your dad taking you for ice cream?
Well, yeah, right now we just got some smoothies.
See, oh, nice.
Go.
Okay.
Nicely
All
done.
Right.
Well,
All
you
right.
got to get some fuel to make more bracelets, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've kind of morphed now. We're doing pop-up sales. So we stopped selling in front of our house. And we've been invited to various people's houses throughout the Twin Cities every Tuesday and Thursday now who have, like, wanted us to come out there. So that's kind of an exclusive Vikings running back C.J. Ham and his wife and another Viking that lives across the street from them are going to host us on their street on July 14th. And so, you know, we're going to do some cool things with some Vikings footballs and some other stuff. But, you know, it's just been a community involvement, which has been cool to see, you know, all these people coming around her. Guys like Adam Thielen sent her a video, and his son Asher. And so this will be a memory she'll have forever.
Hey, so what are some of the places you've been giving some of the money to?
So some churches. We gave some money. We've actually done some stuff with some social workers who are working directly with families in Minneapolis through different hospitals and different charity groups where we're actually letting them go grocery shopping, sending us the receipts, and then through our 501c3, we're able to cut them checks. And then we're going to work with the Chamber of Commerce with some of those businesses in Minneapolis. Once their insurance kind of lets them know how much they're going to owe and what the insurance is going to cover, we're going to, you know, put some money over there. And so that's what we just started like 2 weeks ago. We started a 501c3 charitable donor fund in order to, one, give people tax breaks, because like Little Caesars has given us $10,000. Another group just gave us $5,000. We're meeting with Caribou Coffee, Traeger Grills. And so, you know, we haven't officially gotten any word from them, but that's our goal, is to kind of continue on this path and just, you know, put as much money into the 501c3 as we can so that we can continue to help out, you know, is when we see fit, you know. But one of the churches, we gave them $5,000 plus like $3,000 in food to give out to people. Kyle Rudolph, the Vikings, he had a food drive. We dropped off about $2,000 in food to his food drive. So we've just kind of been, you know, as my wife said, they kind of just hands and feet to the community, just out and about, making sure, you know, that people know that we care and, you know, God loves them.
This Man, is the young CEO.
Yeah.
Getting all that practical business acumen now. Look out, world, man.
Hey, Cameron, you realize you're smarter than your dad, right?
Don't worry, we've gone that route too, Ron. Both Jason and I have daughters that have far eclipsed us.
Oh, hey, Cameron, I need you to grow up and become president, okay?
Yay.
Can you do that? All right. And hey, and here's things. When you do become president one day, you and your friends, and maybe Xander can be your vice president, since, you know, Xander was at the idea with you. When the Jets win a game on Sunday, everybody is off from work on Monday.
Okay.
Don't worry.
There won't be that many days. I mean, maybe just like 3 days a year you're going to have it, but that's what it would be.
3 days a year, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Hey, so Cameron, what's your favorite story? What's the favorite bracelet you sold to somebody that you can remember?
Harrison Smith.
She said Harrison Smith from the Vikings. He came
oh, Harrison
to the house.
Smith. Oh, nice.
Yeah, he came to the house and got a bracelet from her at the house.
And as he started walking up, I'm sure everybody cleared out a little bit, hearing a big hit.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for the Tesla, a lot of people wouldn't even know who he was. You know, when you show up in the Tesla, everybody's like, okay, this has to be somebody.
Oh, right, right, right. Like, if he showed up in, like, a Toyota Camry, it would be, oh, I don't know who this guy is. Whatever.
You just see another white guy with joggers on, with tight pants on.
Oh, hey, Cameron, congratulations on everything you're doing. And everybody is so proud of you. And I know your parents are as well and your friends. Keep doing everything you can. And, hey, anything you need, let us know and we'll try to help you out. But this is such a fantastic thing you're doing and all the best success in the world. And I mean that thing about president and I mean that thing about the Jets, because when you are, I'm going to remind you. I'm going to send you an email and say, remember the Jets, that thing's going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
You're the best. No pressure now.
Oh, my goodness. Ron, you guys run it. You have a website or something that people can get to or hit you up on Twitter? What's the best way?
Yeah, so if they go to a GoFundMe and they can just search Cameron and Friends bracelets and the GoFundMe will pop up. They can also tweet if they want and Venmo. They can Venmo me at Ron John Jr. So that's RONJOHNJR3. And if they put a message on Cameron, I'm going to say Cameron with a K on GoFundMe. But if you put in like an amount you want to donate and then just leave an address, so they can make it a private donation. And then they can put their address in. We actually are mailing out bracelets. We probably mailed out now over 1,000 envelopes to various people. I mean, we've sent some to New Zealand now, Japan, Canada. So we've been Germany. So we've been getting them from everywhere since we did Good Morning America and ESPN. I mean, it's been crazy. So I know Fox Sports is going to be even bigger. Like, it's definitely going to be bigger.
The initiative is called Cameron and Friends, Bracelets for Unity and Justice. And Cameron, I just want to say, I think you've done enough for ice cream every day this weekend. I mean, starting today, wow, tomorrow, Sunday, even into Monday. I'd say ice cream every day.
Okay.
That guy on the radio said we should have ice cream every day, Dad.
Don't Sorry, listen Ron. To him. He's a Jets fan. What does he know about anything?
And so once we give her the ice cream, are you going to take care of her? We're going to have to send her so you can deal with her hyper she's going to be.
Oh, sure. That's okay. It'll just be more ice cream. It'll be fine. Listen.
Well, we'll run some soccer drills, and we'll see if we can work that off, right?
Listen, I'll already tell
you. Soccer, softball, she'll be ready.
Well, no, here's the thing. If you want to send her to me for tomorrow, we can all watch Hamilton, you know, all day, because that's what we're going to be doing. So it's going to be Hamilton all day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, come out, Hamilton.
So that's going to happen. for any information you want on there, you can follow Ron, ask him on Twitter as well. 3 Ron Johnson, the number 3 Ron Johnson, former NFL wide receiver, and now known as Cameron's dad for the rest of his life. Ron, as always, appreciate it, my friend. Good talking to you, and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Fox needs to get me next to Swollen Dome. We need to make this a three-way.
Oh, look at you. Wow, look at that. Jumping right in there. Hey, we'll have you on
your you guys get me home every night. Like, every night in Minnesota, I'm on KFAN Radio, so your show, Fox Sports, comes on. So I'm hearing you guys all the time, the Fresca, the all that. Like, that's the last 5 years coming from Vikings games. That's been my way home with you guys.
Oh, well, hey, well, then when you're on your way home, we'll talk to you on the way home a couple of times. We'll set it up.
For sure.
You got it. Ron, thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend, and congratulations on all that success. That's so fantastic.
All right, thanks.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.